This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Hey, jurors. So today we're going to take a look back at some of our conversations around defamation. We're talking everything from Tasha K constantly running her mouth about Cardi B, and as we know, paying dearly for it, to George Floyd's family suing Kanye West for talking reckless. And y'all remember Judge Joe Brown threatening to sue the Sheryl Lee Ralph for defamation, even though she never even mentioned his name. Now listen, before we dig into these stories, let's refresh our recollection on the definition of defamation. So we know that defamation is a false statement of fact that harms another person's reputation. It's rooted in the idea that we each have a right to our good name and reputation. So to constitute defamation, the statement must be false. Said another way, the truth is an affirmative defense to a defamation claim. Listen, we all know you can't just run around saying any old thing about people without the consequences and the repercussions. So keep that in mind and take a listen. So we all know he went on Drink Champs, Kanye that is, and really amongst all of the ridiculous shit he was saying, Dustin, this is, and I knew the minute that this part came out of his mouth on the interview, you know, it's like issue spotting in law school. Like this is literally going to be a lawsuit, no questions asked. Because he's challenging a fact. A legal finding. Actually, Kanye went on Drink Champs and formed his mouth to say that brother George Floyd did not die by homicide and by the knee on his neck from Derek Chauvin, as a jury determined happened. Kanye says instead he promoted a conspiracy theory that was used by far right media to say that George Floyd instead died from fentanyl use. As soon as he said it, Dustin, I knew this was exactly what was going to happen. Now, y'all keep in mind, there were, I think, at least two autopsies done on brother Floyd because there was such controversy around making sure that the cause of death was accurate. And so finally, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office, that's the ME, ruled that George Floyd indeed died by homicide. That is a legal finding, Dustin. That means killed by another. That's what the, as opposed to suicide or anything like that. Killed by another. Caused by Derek Chauvin's knee on brother Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes. That's what the medical examiner, the expert, Dustin, determined. We call that a finding of fact. In a courtroom of law, the ME put their hand on a Bible and swore under oath to the accuracy of this finding.
This is as accurate as it gets.
So for Kanye to go on a platform and say otherwise, you are now undermining a fact-finding effort.
As if we did not already literally see this take place. We watched it. We witnessed it with our own eyes. And then we substantiated that with the findings of the medical examiner, all the other physicians that they consulted, and legal experts, and all that shit. So this is just ridiculous. I think they need to make them talk through the wire again.
You said you want him drinking that Slim Fast
Shut
again?
Up. Like, for real. And maybe you shouldn't have dropped out of college. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you shouldn't have done that because he's acting foolish.
Yeah, maybe you should have finished.
Maybe you should have finished.
Yeah, instead of deciding you were
finished.
Because
now you're about to be finished.
And it, listen, if it's not going to be this Jewish community canceling your black ass for this anti-Semitism.
Do you already see Chase Bank told him he can get the fuck on?
Along with Balenciaga, along with, I believe, Adidas made a statement. Yeah, it's
Vogue, everybody. All the asses that he kissed.
Yeah.
Okay. And heralded and lauded these relationships as if it put him into some
special category,
right, of blackness or whatever. It's a textbook case of seeking white approval and white validation, and then it's slapping you dead in the face.
It always slaps you dead in the face.
And that's what he gets. He's a damn fool, and I'm so disgusted by him.
Like, I am as well, but I'm very actually happy, Dustin, to see this lawsuit, because it's important that if you can, and the Floyd family is in a position to do so by virtue of who they are in the culture.
Yeah.
I know one of their attorneys, shout out to Attorney Lee Merrick, he's represented the family before, and he's gone on. I don't know that he's handling this particular suit, Dustin, but he is speaking on it. He was on CNN recently, and he said that this he was being contacted by George Floyd's brother to pursue a defamation case. Now, it's interesting. That's not going to fly. I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people are like, well, yeah, why can't the brother or any member of the family sue for defamation? Y'all need to know this. Defamation does not survive death.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, people like to shorten shit. Y'all forget it's defamation of what?
Character.
Reputation. And you don't have a reputation once you die. No, I'm just. I know I shouldn't have said it like that. But you don't. When you're dead. Right. You're dead on arrival. The reputation.
I mean, quite literally.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Okay. So your reputation.
Which may be a good thing for some of you motherfuckers.
Listen, some of y'all need to be happy.
Some of y'all
about
need
it.
A clean slate, okay?
Oh, God. Oh, God, Dustin, I'm not ready. But honestly, your reputation and your character, essentially, that chapter is closed when you die. All right. So, therefore, all jokes aside, there is no legal claim, no tort claim around defamation. Now, there could be some other claims, but you just can't defame someone's reputation after they've passed on to the afterlife.
Right.
Okay.
That's good to know.
And that's good to know. Okay. So, who does have a claim is George Floyd's one surviving heir, Dustin. That's his beautiful daughter. The daughter, Gianna Floyd, her mother is Roxy Washington. So she's going to be pursuing litigation on behalf of the daughter. And she is the sole beneficiary to George Floyd's estate, his daughter, Gianna.
Yeah, wonderful.
So she's looking for $250 million in damages. And that's going to be a litany of things. So that defamation claim, like I said, will probably not fly, but she's got other claims. Infliction of emotional distress. I think that's
for
the biggest
sure.
one. I think that's the biggest one, especially because she's a child and everything that's going on and all the grief and loss and harm she's already suffered.
Yeah.
Kanye West, by his reckless, incendiary, false claims around her father's murder, because it's a legal determination of murder now, Kanye West, you dumbass. He's reopening that wound.
Yeah.
And he's rubbing the pain. So therefore, there's a legitimate infliction of emotional distress claim on behalf of this young sister.
Good.
Misappropriation, harassment, and others. So they're looking for around $250 million.
Good. May they get every dime.
May they get every dime. And some of y'all are like, well, you know, what he said was horrific, but $250 million sounds like a lot. What's baked into that, Dustin? Punitive damages.
Yes.
And it's designed to do that. Punish your ass so that you don't ever, in your right mind or your second mind, think it's okay.
Yeah.
To speak erroneously. And that's not my opinion, Dustin.
No, that's
not how you. This is what the court of law has determined by a finder of fact that this man was murdered at the hands of Derek Chauvin. As you said, Dustin, we watched it all on video, and the court and the ME and the jury all agreed.
Yep.
So who are you, Kanye West? To come your Monday morning quarterbacking ass.
Come on, Ebony.
After the fact. And say otherwise. You're not in position, sir.
Yep.
And now you're going to pay a hefty fee for it.
And you're going to learn. Kanye West thinks that he knows everything. And he thinks he's an expert on everything. So I'm excited to watch him learn this lesson.
Listen, exactly.
And I hope they get every fucking dime, because who the fuck are you? And let it have been your motherfucking daddy. You just got cool with the nigga. So let it have been your daddy, Kanye.
Yep. And we know how you feel about your mother.
That's right.
You know, so you think you can speak on somebody's parents? Sir?
Which is, we're not even going to go there, because now we're talking about him.
He is legitimately facing a $250 million claim. It's got a lot of things in there, including infliction of emotional distress.
Good.
I think the facts are in the favor of the Floyd family. And I wish them justice.
Me too.
I wish them justice.
Me too.
Okay, we're going to move on from that. I'm never going to get into the drink champs of it all. Y'all already know what it is.
I mean.
There we go. The episode has been removed. Do with that what you may.
Nori, you see he's been apologizing to everyone that's listening.
Yeah, after the stream, so.
Yeah. And the celebration afterwards. Oh, my interview went,
Yeah,
so excited about.
More than.
Yeah. Anyway, disappointing because I love Nori's music.
I love Nori too. Yeah. Listen, I'm trying to be on drink chat. Yeah. Let me be very clear. Right. Yeah. Y'all gonna hear from me and my team soon. but I'll tell you what. When we go on, and I want us to also do a joint holding court interview on Drink Champs.
I would love that. I would love, and I'm participating. We're going to manifest that. Yeah, let's manifest it.
And I can drink, first of all, unlike some.
Yep. actually, you can't, Ebony. You know that.
You know. Oh, I'm not talking
shit.
My girl
go hard in the paint.
Yeah, and that's not even a flex or a brag. No, it's like, just...
It's a confirmation of a skill set.
Yeah,
that's
acquired over time.
That's what it is, okay?
Acquired over time.
Slow cooked, okay?
Been having reasons to drink for a long time.
Hello.
No, that's what happened when you start practicing law at 23. You'd be like, God damn.
I need a stiff one. Whew. Okay.
Right after the last billable hour.
Yes, Ebony.
Where is the bourbon?
Where is the bar? Yes.
All that said, what's going to happen when we go on Drink Champs is we're going to tell the truth. We're going to keep it around the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be enough for us.
Yeah.
Unlike for some. See, some people got to just lie and talk out the side of their fucking neck.
We don't
for
have
the
to
sake
do that.
Of entertainment value.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor and
them.
Look where it gets you.
Poor them.
Every time.
Slap with a lawsuit.
It's such an old story, too. This is, you see it happen. If you keep living long enough, you see this happen over and over and over
again. And you know what
again.
They say, Dustin? You're going to keep getting the lesson until you learn.
How about that?
Y'all are familiar with the facts of this one, I'm sure. Cardi, was awarded $4.2 million from a civil claim that she had against Tasha K. This was back in 2019, where Tasha K was found of defamation, invasion of privacy, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Now, Dustin, help me remember, what was it? She was saying some very defamatory, nasty, outrageous things about Cardi B. What were her original claims?
That Cardi was a prostitute, that she had herpes.
Yeah, I remember herpes claim.
And I can't remember what additionally it was, but I know the herpes allegation was a big one.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to say more.
She provided medical records to show that she did not have it.
Right.
And then, another thing that people don't talk about often enough to me related to this case is Cardi's visible reaction to and retelling of the distress and the emotional distress that she was under per those lies.
Yeah.
When Cardi was on that stand, she broke down in tears and it was very, very personal. And I think that is what swayed the jury.
That's why they gave such punitive award.
Yeah.
4 points, because you could see the distress.
And this is where feelings are relevant, right? Because factually, she had already proven what was said was to be false.
Right.
And now that fact was presented, then she was able to offer up the feelings and show in that moment the feelings attached to the fact.
Well, here's what you just said that people need to really pay attention to, Dustin. When you're talking about an emotional distress claim, that's a tort, that's a civil claim. There's some things that have to be established, as you say, factually on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
Was it this person? What did they say? Was it, you know, a liar? Is that? And now, the feeling is actually one of the proven elements.
There you go.
So when you're talking about a scenario, jurors, where your feelings are a part of the literal equation, then damn right, the feelings matter. But absent that, take your feelings, and as Mama Gloria would say, put them in your pocket.
How about that? And also rewind that section of the show and re-listen to what you just said.
Yeah.
So that you can know when to share those feelings.
When they're relevant and when you're better served holding space for the feeling and moving forward.
Because you look less than smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just not a good use of your time. Yeah.
Anyone's time.
Or everyone's time. And it's irrelevant. So back to the $4.2 million judgment, Dustin. Cardi, that's a big judgment but
that's a big bill.
But again, you didn't lie and say, I don't know, that she had a messy weave or, you know what I mean, or her house was dirty. You said this woman had a full-blown incurable STD.
You defamed her.
You said she was a whole prostitute. That is an illegal trade. Now, I don't think it should be, but it is.
Right,
that's a different conversation.
It's definitely happening.
We are pro-sex workers here in Holden Court.
We are. Let's be clear. But also, another thing that people should note, Ebony, all Tasha K had to do was remove the videos.
She did.
And she refused to do it. Mm-hmm. And so now here we are. So all she had to do was take the shit down.
Your ego.
Years ago.
Yeah. Because that's how these claims start. They never start at $4.2 million. Right. They start with a little something that everybody likes to talk about, but most of y'all don't know what it really is. A letter of cease.
And desist.
And desist.
Yep.
It's saying, this is me kindly asking you, through my lawyer...
to take that shit down.
To stop that shit.
Yeah.
Take it down, retract it.
Whatever it is.
Issue
looks
a corrective statement, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Now, it is only once you have shown an unwillingness, Dustin, mm-hmm. to do that, to take on that corrective posture, or sometimes it's really just cease. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Now we've got to go further. Now there's a complaint. Now there's this. And again, when you've got the pockets as deep as Cardi B has them, because that's another thing people like Tasha K rely upon. You rely on people that are broke asses. They can't do anything but live with it. Live with your false statements. Live with your character indictments. Live with your erroneous mythical accusations. Most people do have to live with it. Why? Because they don't have the resources that a Cardi B has, Dustin, to hire. You know, this is not a criminal case. So you are not constitutionally provided with an attorney.
You got to pay to play.
You got to pay to play, baby. Yeah. And when I tell you these civil lit attorneys,
they're not
they
cheap.
High. Mm-hmm. No, they're the opposite of cheap. They high. Mm-hmm.
High as hell.
Yeah.
And
because you know high is more expensive than expensive.
Than expensive. Yeah. Some of that's too high.
Yeah, you that's know what high.
I'm saying? That's high. Yeah. Yeah, you got to stretch it out. That's high.
Ooh, that's high.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, so that's
we just taught people how to be black.
And if you didn't know, now you know.
You know.
So, yeah, that is a very high bar of ability to go and retain mm-hmm. a lawyer and probably easily put down $50,000, $100,000 to get a lawyer to even look at the case,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so now that at this point, Cardi B, and this is actually, I'm telling y'all this for a reason, so stay with me now. Because Cardi B has invested, I am sure, no less, considering the appeal and this and that, Cardi B has probably spent close to $750,000 mm-hmm. bringing this case mm-hmm. and winning this case. So that there's a investment really mm-hmm. on the part of Cardi B for her own justice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that Cardi B is feeling like taking that on the chin and walking away with a $750,000 legal bill and a public victory and let's take our toys and go home. No,
mm-mm.
You got it fucked up. Because now she needs to, first of all, make up for her investment in her own justice.
Yep.
So she is not going to just, okay, I got a paper judgment that's not worth anything but the paper it's on, which is how most people see judgments.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are not litigating with Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman who not only has the resources to litigate against you, secure the judgment, she also, Dustin, has the resources to enforce the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about judgment enforce. Okay. Getting back to the facts here. So we know that Cardi has contacted YouTube's owner, which is Google, because we know mm-hmm. that is the primary revenue source, Dustin, that Tasha K makes her money from.
She makes a lot of money.
And she makes a lot of money.
She's a talented commentator.
Mm-hmm.
She's naturally funny. Mm-hmm. She has really good comedic timing. And so I hate to see.
Yeah.
And she obviously has created a business model that works, right?
Sure.
Like she has a thriving YouTube channel and
very
and
profitable
outlet. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Very profitable.
People come through there and are interviewed and stuff.
Yeah.
So I hate to see her in this position, but it was so self-imposed. You
That's
shouldn't
it.
Have lied. And all you had to do was take the shit down in the first fucking place.
Let's talk about how defiance and indignation will mess you up every time.
Every time.
Every time. I rarely see it turn out well for people in the entertainment industry, but in real life work situations. You know what I mean? It's just there's something to be said for taking your feelings, once again, taking your ego, and we all have one. So this is not an indictment of that, Dustin. It's just simply weighing the cost
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of, okay, now I could be right,
mm-hmm.
or I could kind of like puff up my chest and kind of play Billy Badass right now, or I can do the math real quick, run them numbers right quick, and say, you know, it's just not worth it.
Especially when you're wrong in the first damn place.
Well, you know, people like to be wrong and strong.
Like
people like to be wrong and strong, Dustin.
The short-sightedness of people just is baffling to me sometimes.
Yeah. So how does Cardi go about the business of collecting and enforcing this judgment? Well, it's just what we said here. You figure out what is the primary revenue stream of the individual you have the judgment against, and then you go about the business of collecting directly.
Yeah.
You know who does this really well?
The IRS. What?
Baby!
Fuck around and find out if you want
Listen,
to.
Listen, your girl has been a victim.
That without, happens in to my the younger best days. Of us.
I remember looking at my check. This was. Oh, God. This was, I think I was a summer associate, right? And I thought I was real rich because I think I was making $1,500 a week. Mm-hmm, anyway. And I remember. It would be like $1,500, $3,000, you know, all these increments over the summer. I'm rich. Mm-hmm. I'm rich because, you know, it's like, you know, post Katrina and I'm out here balling, you know, in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. A mess.
Shout out to New Orleans.
Boy, I had me a time. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I want some food from Port au Call right now.
Listen, you better stop playing about that burger.
Okay.
You better stop playing about
Give
that
me
burger.
A, and that snowball that, from Pandora.
That damn baked potato.
What? With the loaded. Loaded.
All of the toppings.
Busting through them little saloon doors to get in.
So
Come on,
fun.
Now. We need to go.
That actually would be, we're going to do,
Put
we need to do a live
that.
Event
yes.
there. Okay,
yes.
shout out
yes.
to that.
Yes.
So, I thought I was balling. Long story short, I know I saw that, subtraction come through real quick. I went to go use that debit card. That thing said no funds available. I said, how can this be? I think this was back when it was Wachovia. If y'all know about it, y'all know about Wachovia.
Wachovia
said, Ms. Williams, bitch, you're broke, actually. Mm-hmm. And how do I know? Because the IRS told me to take all that damn money. Mm-hmm. So, moral of the story, don't ever think that your funds are unreachable because especially when it's a judgment, it is at play. Mm-hmm. So Cardi went straight to YouTube, who we know Tasha K gets a lot of money from, and they gave her access because she's got a binding court document.
Yes, she does.
She has a legally enforceable judgment against you for up to $4.2 million. And what y'all need to realize is I'm sure Tasha K is thinking, well, I don't have $4.2 million, so whatever. No, ma'am. But what you do have is Cardi's for a long time. So right now, Cardi was able to collect $9,304.81. It went straight to Cardi. And again, because Cardi is so wealthy, it's the principal.
It's the principal. Yep.
Some could call it the pleasure. Okay. I can tell you this, Dustin. Cardi's going to continue to accumulate that money. She's going to probably got some kind of automated thing where every few weeks she will just clear that right on out. Mm-hmm. So now listen, there's obviously a workaround, right? I expect Tasha K to probably downscale her relationship with YouTube, whether it's Patreon. She's going to find another. But again, Cardi's just going to keep popping back up. It's like that whack-a-mole, you know, every time. You have a highly published, because that's how you make your money. Tasha, you know, you're not making your money in a private, you know, silo. Your money is public. So as soon as it looks obviously profitable, here comes Cardi with this judgment. So I guess all that to say, let me give you the verbiage from the judgment. Oh, my God. You are hereby commanded to immediately hold all money, including wages and other property. This was what Cardi sent YouTube to hold all wages and other property except what is known to be exempt belonging to the defendant or obligations owed to the defendant named above beginning the day of service of this summons, including the next 1,095 days. So that's several years. And when they say exempt, let's talk about what that could look like. So let's say you're somebody out there, jurors, you or someone you love has a judgment against you. Certain things are exempt, right? Like your primary residence. So what they will not do is have you like out here
homeless,
unhoused.
Yeah,
exactly. But a lot is on the table as well. You know, I think you only can get like one primary vehicle. If you're one of these people that likes two and three cars, they're subject to seizure. So I'm going to say this. Try to make good on your judgments. Now, this is an exemplary case in the sense that it's so public and it's these huge celebrities and da-da-da. But let's say you're just, you know, a juror listening at home, Dustin, as I have been in the past. And, you know, you got a $10,000 judgment, or even a $50,000 judgment, even a $100,000 judgment against you. Likely people are going to continue to come after you. Try to make a settlement. It's possible.
Yeah.
I've seen a $100,000 judgment go down to $5,000 because something is better than nothing.
Yep.
So if I'm you, go ahead and try to call up the lawyer that's probably now outsourced to handle the judgment collection and enforcement part.
Which is a whole nother beast.
Which is a whole nother beast. But again, the fact that that's a whole practice area lets you know people not playing about their money at all. Go ahead and try to settle that thing up because you can just sleep better at night. And it sucks because sometimes when you're going to sell that primary residence, you can't even have a proper closure because...
Yeah.
Here comes the judgment attached to your lien.
Yeah.
Attached to your deed.
Yeah.
So y'all, you know, don't. I remember I was young and dumb at times and thought judgments were just pieces of paper that don't mean shit. Now mm-hmm. they can mean some shit.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You know, it's not even how you really want to be out here moving.
And don't get in that position in the first damn place. Play stupid That's games, true. Win stupid
you
prizes.
You always win stupid prizes. And then when you win a stupid prize, which sometimes happens because sometimes we all are stupid, mm-hmm. go ahead and try to make good on it. Like you say, keep it player.
Keep it player. And again, I want to make sure that I make note of this. Mm-hmm. I hate that Tasha K did that.
I do too.
Because she literally has it.
Mm-hmm.
She's talented. She's a talented black woman, so I hate to see this happen, but that's why you can't do shit like lie on people you and can. Then stand 10 toes on it.
I think, I don't know if it's going to move the needle, but if I'm Tasha K, I'm asking anybody I know who know Cardi.
Yeah.
Let me do a YouTube. Like, I would at this point, go ahead and fall on the sword. I would get on YouTube and say, Cardi, you know, listen, at this point, sis, you got it. You got it. You know, I was wrong. The court said I was wrong. You won. You are rightfully seizing my money. I understand it. I deserve it. But now, sis, I just want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to live. So I'm now after the fact, too late, probably, I'm sure. But I'm now just going to publicly fall on my sword and be at your mercy to say, what can I do, if anything, to help make this halfway right? Like, that's where I'm at if I'm Tasha K.
For real.
Because I'm not about to keep just taking this shit on the chin like this. Even though it's self-inflicted. Well, the opposite of self-infliction is self-liberation.
How about that?
What a transition that was.
Upward. Okay.
Doop.
Boom.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is just the one I really want to get into. So, recently, Cheryl Lee Ralph, was sitting down with radio host Miss Angela Yee on her brand new syndicated radio show, Up With Yee. The Abbott Elementary star, Cheryl Lee Ralph, of course, yes. was talking about her business, her career, which has spanned over 40 freaking years, from Broadway to Hollywood to everywhere in between.
Yeah.
And in that, what has really caught headlines was Ralph answering a question talking about her most challenging experience when she was in show business. And her answer, Dustin, was something that happened while she was starring on the UPN. We all shout out to UPN.
Yes, UPN. What a time.
What a time.
What a time.
Want to be on top. Remember, that was UPN. That's it. All of it. Also on UPN, of course, the hit Moesha.
Mm-hmm. And I can hear the Diary music now.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it brings back all the feelings. So Cheryl Lee Ralph, of course, played the mom on Moesha. And during that time, Cheryl Lee Ralph says that she had a really unfortunate encounter with an unnamed TV judge at that time. This is the quote from Cheryl. I'm at a very public place. I was suited. I had my suit on handling my business. And he and I were on the same network. This man grabbed me by the back of my neck, turned me around, and rammed his nasty tongue down my throat. And I can just hear it in her Jamaican accent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cheryl said that everyone from the network saw it and chose to do nothing. But New Orleans mayor at the time, Mark Muriel, was also, I'm going to get to Mark in a minute. Because let me tell you about Mark Muriel, baby. That's okay. A Seventh Ward Creole.
Okay, the people's champ, baby. Listen, you better baby, ask somebody.
Don't mess with it. If you know, you know. And I tell you that Seventh Ward Creole hit different.
That's right.
Okay. Mark Muriel said, hold the phone. He was also at the event, and he asked Cheryl Lee Ralph if she wanted to, quote, make a phone call and have the gentleman handled. I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah.
While the mayor stood up for her, the network asked, this is per Cheryl, asked her to not do anything or say anything about it because they didn't want bad press around their shows. Again, Cheryl Lee Ralph didn't name no names. She said nothing via that, but Judge Joe Brown quickly came forward with a threat to sue Cheryl Lee Ralph for defamation. I mean, this is from a tweet he put out on March 24th. There are false rumors being spread that I mistreated a certain lady 25 years ago. I categorically deny both the accusations and the acquaintance with the lady. Those rumors started with certain identified parties and spread. They ought, quote, cease and desist or contemplate a defamation action.
A couple things.
What's the saying? Don't come for me unless I send for you.
Yeah.
Is that Kenya Moore?
Yeah. Well, she says it.
She said.
But you know, it didn't start with her.
Okay. Well,
you know where she got that from. Yes, you do. Think about it. Where do all of those sorts?
Oh, okay.
You know where
of
it
course.
Came from.
From the culture, from mm-hmm. the queer community. Okay, okay. I'm with you now. Well, anyway, Dustin says she says it.
Yes. Let's be clear.
Okay. That's going to apply here to Judge Joe Brown.
Right.
No one said your name, sir. Nobody even, Cheryl Lee Ralph of all people, certainly did not imply you. I mean, I can think off the top of my head of about five. Television, and she didn't even put race into it. So she actually about seven or eight.
What she said was we were on the same network. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, mm-hmm. people, you know, assumed that that's who she was talking about. But sir, you're a hit dog and you're hollering. Why?
Hit dog hollering. Perfect. That's the perfect way to put that. So I'm gonna give you an example of what he could have done.
Okay.
Well, first of all, the best thing to do is say nothing.
Yeah. People got to start shutting the fuck up. And
then
this is also an example of being out of touch with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Judge Joe Brown probably has not received a lot of negative, you know, comments, you know, in the social media spaces or whatever.
I don't know that that's true, but go ahead.
In this way,
oh,
I'm
in
saying.
This way,
you know
in
what
terms
I mean?
Of a sexual assault.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So this type of attention coming towards him, right? Once people started putting two and two together and assuming
all,
that that's what he's talking
said
about.
Joe nor Brown together in a sentence
so
in about 15
you,
years.
Why are
at
you?
Least, at least.
Why are you so quick to feel like you have to defend yourself?
Correct.
Shut up and sit down somewhere.
Pressed. And even if you wanted to say something, like let's just say you felt a way and, you know, there was a lot of narrative. I'm going to give you that. Like you said, Dustin, of people saying, okay, well, UPN, it must have been. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. My new colleague, Judge Kevin Ross over at Entertainment Studios, which, you know, of course, we're launching Equal Justice with Judge Ebony K. Williams this fall. So Kevin Ross is a prominent black television judge. Attractive black man. And I think he has America's Court with Judge Kevin Ross. Kevin said this. I've known Cheryl Lee Ralph for a long time, and I'm a huge fan with the utmost respect for her as a person and artist.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the record, however, it wasn't me. but you guys already knew that, didn't you? Now, Kevin really could have said nothing either. But if you really feel the need to just make it unequivocally clear that it wasn't you, that's all you got to do.
That's all you have to do.
You don't have to thread nobody. You don't have to talk about a cease and desist. Cease and desist what? She literally didn't even really indicate you to me.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when you start doing shit like that, people say, okay, well, you want to play? Is there a statute? If say she wanted to like make that.
Well, yeah, I know what you're going with this. Now if Cheryl Lee Ralph had the time,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure she does not because
mm-hmm.
she's so busy.
Yeah.
But if she had a little
singing
extra
her
time.
Awards, accepted
right,
speeches
all
and shit.
Of that, you know, probably getting ready to do another Broadway review.
Okay.
Because why not? When you're an original dream girl.
The one who she should have. My sister made a great point. Not to get too far off the track.
Uh-huh.
She should have played Beyonce's mom in the film.
That would have been excellent.
Like, why didn't
obvious,
she do that?
Easy.
But anyway, go ahead.
They might not have had that bag right. Who knows?
It could have been that too. Then there's that.
They might have blown the bag on Jamie Foxx and Eddie Murphy.
Then there's that.
But that was money well spent.
I still
need justice for Eddie Murphy with that Oscar.
He was literally robbed.
That was a highway robbery.
Didn't he leave the awards?
He did.
Yeah.
And on that, I'm not mad at Eddie because that was some bullshit.
Anyway.
Oh, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if she has some time, Dustin, sure, at this point she could say, okay, well, if we want to play that game, you know, you want to play stupid games and win stupid prizes, then now I'm going to go on record And that, and she could just put up a camera and say, yes, in 19 such and such and such and such, at this time, date and place, such and such, such and such did this to me. And now what? Mm-hmm. Because if he or anybody was to try to say that is defamation or slander, her defense is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed the facts follow... And Mark Morial was a witness to mm-hmm. such things. And allegedly, according to the storytelling, that there were several other witnesses. Mm-hmm. Now you've actually started something you cannot finish.
Now
sir.
You have an issue.
Yeah.
Because you opened your mouth.
You started
for
something.
For the second time, apparently.
Yeah, you started something you can't finish. And you invited what could be much, much worse for you. Because there's rumor and speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, now you lied about me, so now I have to tell the truth about you.
Mm-hmm. I hate it when people disappoint me in this way.
Are you disappointed about your world?
I am.
Are you?
I am. Hmm. I hate it. And no, I didn't. I'm a Judge Mathis person. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I did appreciate having these black judges in the landscape. You
okay,
know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, I'm going to get to them in a minute. Go ahead.
I hate to see this shit. I hate to see it. It's so disappointing. It makes me feel like, I don't know if it's just
have
because
he's
older.
Have you lost one of your childhood heroes here, Dustin?
I kind of feel like that. It's like when Jesse Jackson was on that hot mic talking about Barack Obama.
Oh, you know,
it's that sort of same feeling like, damn, nigga, you really that kind of motherfucker? Yeah. Damn.
I be telling you, we don't really be knowing these people. But, you know, that applies broadly.
Like,
that applies broadly. Here's the thing. I hear you about the landscape regarding and needing and holding reverence to black judges in terms of these syndicated daytime judges. And yes. But I'm going to tell you a secret, Dustin. I have always internally kind of cringed at a lot of these daytime judges. I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of them, and again, I'm not naming nobody's fucking name. So if you hit right now, go on and holler.
And bitch, I ain't ceasing or desisting.
Right, because I'm standing on the evidence,
okay,
which is the episodes y'all done taped.
That's right.
The 50, 11 million thousand episodes of your show. Some of these judges that look like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel have sacrificed the integrity of the culture for the sake of a cheap laugh or a check.
Oh, man.
I do. I feel like I used to watch some of these shows, and one of the reasons I really don't watch most of them. Now there are some great judge shows. I think Judge Maybelline's show is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think Judge Glenda Hackett has always been phenomenal. I
love Lauren Lake.
Lauren Lake and all that she's done in her brilliant, multifaceted career.
The book, Spice Up My Kitchen.
HGTV, singing. Baby.
Yeah. That's how
Property
I met
Virgins.
Her.
Same.
Was through Spice Up My Kitchen.
And I met her, I think, through Property Virgins.
Yeah.
Or,
we love
we
Lauren
love Lauren
Lake.
Lake, clearly.
Yes, much love to you, Lauren.
Also, my new colleague.
Yes. Maybelline.
Toller.
Oh, Lynn Toller.
Lynn Toller.
Yes.
So there are plenty of iconic, influential black court judges, but some of the other ones, I do feel like allowed black litigants into their courtroom and kind of almost set them up as props for cheap jokes at the expense of black stereotyping. Why is everybody a crackhead? Why is everybody raggedy? Why is everybody ghetto? Like, you know, so I'm just, it's a problem. You know, I don't care who say nothing or feel nothing or goddamn about it.
Okay.
I feel away.
You ain't gonna be coming over here calling nobody fools like you do in that bitch. Your husband's a fool.
Yeah,
bam,
I think there's a way to get justice. I think there's a way, and just, I mean, we are in the TV business. I think there's a way to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a way to have a compelling entertainment show that doesn't come at the expense of your own people.
I can't wait to watch it. And it's called what?
Equal Justice. With Judge Ebony K. Right. And if you're listening to this and you feel a way and you want to see how that's done,
Tune in.
Coming to a TV syndicated near you.
She can show you better than she's telling you now. Okay.
That's it.
And she gonna show you. How about that?
That's that part. So,
well, now that you bring it up, you're right.
But that's just my perspective from a special place, Dustin.
I never thought about that because I always associated these shows. I always looked at
the entertainment
value.
Yeah, it's high octane entertainment.
But you're 100% right. There's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
To do it in a way that dignifies us and it legitimizes even the show type.
There's
a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I understand exactly what you're saying.
When you're coming into Judge Ebony's courtroom, I can play. You saw the trailer to my show, which was actually shot in Judge Lauren Lake's chambers.
Which
is beautiful.
And what a meeting of two of the most incredible women that I know.
It's such an honor for me because, you know, again, Lauren has really laid a pathway for black women in law like myself. Yeah. So I'm just really honored. Pun intended, Your Honor.
See, that's right. See. Okay, cool. See?
Cornball moment of the show.
No, it's the please.
It's
okay.
Fun. You know, I love it.
And guess what? It's your shit.
So it can be whatever
you say
the
what
fuck
you
I want.
There you go. Shit.
So silly. I just really believe. Oh, when you come into Judge Ebony's courtroom, as you saw on the trailer, which very few people have seen, you know, there's a way to be fun and pithy and play with people to a certain extent, but empower them at the same time.
Right.
Make them, you know, we gonna have a little playtime, but ultimately you in this court for a reason.
Yeah.
You here to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hear you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna belittle you. I'm not gonna make you feel like shit. I'm not trying to make you feel stupid. Like, you know, I don't have to be tall because you have to be on your knees.
Right. That's a tattoo, by the way.
That's it.
Wow.
So that's that
right.
on that.
It's like Oprah and Jerry Springer. You know what I mean? Like that. Those are the parallels here.
And again, you know, it's something for everybody. Everybody, everybody, you know, some people like to get in the gutter with shit and they, you know, for the entertainment value is worth the payoff for them. Everybody's grown and makes their own decisions, Dustin. I just know, I guess when I came into television, let me back it up. When I came into television now over 12, 13 years ago, mass media, even radio was included in this. Podcasting, of course, is included in this. Digital formatting is included in this. When I chose to take my spiritual gifts, and that's what they are, and leave the court of law, leave the confines of private courtroom practice and go into the public sphere of media, it was with a very clear purpose and mandate, Dustin. I only do this work. I don't give a fuck about being famous or no goddamn blue check marks, which is why I didn't pay for that shit on Twitter.
Come on.
You know, I don't give a fuck about none of that. And you know this about me. It is about the work and the humbled responsibility and privilege.
Come on.
That it is to represent blackness in a highly visible way. And I'm very aware, Dustin, I'm acutely aware of the opportunity that I get to have, that you get to have, that our peers get to have as representatives for the culture. In many ways, Dustin, what we do is not that different than what they do in Congress.
Yeah.
Those are representatives elected at the ballot box to show up and represent the greater people. We are not that different. We have been chosen by God, by the culture, by various executives and networks to be the representatives. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It doesn't have to mean we have to follow respectability politics. But what it does mean is that broader narratives around black folk, queer men, women, I don't know if we young no more, but whatever.
Damn it. Up in here, we're going to be today, God damn it. The young people.
The young people. You ain't doing this with you.
But you're right,
broader
though.
Narratives
you're right.
are being
you're
drawn.
Right.
Every, right. every time we open our mouth, every time we're in front of a camera or a microphone.
Yeah.
So I just come with that cognizant nature all the time. So when I see those of us, first of all, it's rare air we breathe. You can count on one hand how many black folks have sat on a bench on these judge shows over the course of the last 60 years, because the People Court been on a long ass time.
A long time, okay?
Since I was eating chicken noodle soup out the Campbell's with the goddamn
rug. Since Judge Wapner.
That's it.
Okay.
Wap your ass.
Okay.
So because that is the rarest of air in terms of representing black authority in the legal space where we know so much life is lost and respect is lost and violent, deadly narrative around blackness, especially fucking black men, is born and bred. Yeah, I guess I just take that shit different.
And you should.
That's it.
You should. And it's personal for you.
It's
and it should be
for
personal for you. You dedicated your life to this sort of work. So to see it, you know, presented in a way that
just
is different.
It's different. And I'm okay with different. Obviously, who the fuck am I, right? It's this judge's show, this judge's. They do whatever they want with their platform. It's just, I'll say this. This is the same reason I did a reality TV show. I'm not sitting around here trying to hate on nobody else's hustle. Get it how you live.
Yeah.
But if I'm not going to get in the arena, to quote Brene Brown, you know, then I can't say shit. So that's why I'm very excited about Equal Justice with Judge Ebony K. Williams.
I'm so excited, too. I'm happy for you.
It's time for Auntie E to get into
the
arena.
It's time. And it's time for a fresh perspective. It's time for people to experience that type of TV in the way that you're about to give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's
from
different.
The optics,
yeah.
From the tone.
Yes.
Just, you know, it's been done a certain way for a long time. It has worked. You know, tried and true formulas are tried and true for a reason. But it ain't lost on me that certain networks are putting a kibosh on that format.
Mm-hmm.
So if that format is to sustain, and I would argue this goes for reality TV shows as well. You know, how are we advancing the model? How are we pushing forward the development?
Mm-hmm.
How are we challenging consumers to stay with us when they have so many options?
Yeah.
When they have more options content-wise than ever before.
Yeah.
You got to give them a reason.
Well, they have one now.
It's coming.
Okay, y'all, that's that on that. Please keep folks' names out your mouth and keep people's story straight. And that way, you'll avoid a whole lot of legal drama. As always, jurors, we want you to keep the faith, stay informed, and as Dustin Ross would tell you, read your terms and conditions.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag. And marketing lead, Samira Still.